reading from Isaiah. The servant of the Lord expresses absolute confidence in his final vindication, despite the fact that he has been struck and spit upon. This characteristic of the servant played an important role in the early church's understanding of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Let us stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this day in the gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, selected verses. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once they ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, truly, this man was God's son. The Gospel of our Lord. Congregation may be seated. Dear friends, in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Open our hearts, O God, by your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your words, believe your words, and so live your words in this world. May the life of your Son, Jesus, give to us hope and life this day and every day. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise be to the Son of David. God's King has finally come. The dynasty of King David has finally been reestablished, and God has come to rescue his people. Our hero has arrived. God has heard our cries and will deliver us from all forces of evil. God has come. He is alive. Victory is ours. Something like that, maybe, was what the people were thinking in the day when Jesus entered Jerusalem. For those days, they were waiting and waiting, probably nearly 400 years, for God to act on their behalf. And here comes this Jesus, the one from Nazareth, the one who is the miracle worker, the one who can walk on water, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. This Jesus now enters and they sing hosannas because God's Messiah has come. Now they can have an armed revolt against the dominant force of Rome. Finally, they can get rid of Romans' outrage against them. They saw Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as a signal that they could take up an armed revolt against the forces that dominate them. God had finally come, and now God was on their side and would give them victory through this Messiah. But they misunderstood what it meant that Jesus was Messiah or King. They misunderstood what kind of King Jesus would turn out to be. Yes, God would work a regime change in Jerusalem and a regime change in all of the hearts of the world, but that change would come through a basin of water, a towel, and a cross. God's change would be to take the hearts of stone and turn them into hearts of love. God's change would come through loving people to the end and beyond. It took only a few days after Jesus entered Jerusalem for the religious authorities and the political authorities to realize that they didn't have what they thought on their hands. And soon they discovered, because of all the crowds that came, particularly people from the underclass, particularly the poor and those who had followed Jesus, they possessed a crowd and nearly a riot for the religious leaders. So they needed to do something with this Jesus in order to take care of their dominance and control over people. And so they clearly misunderstood what Jesus was about, and he was a threat to them, and probably a threat to us. For when we define ourselves over against others, when we live as though we are better than others based on skin color, race, language, religion, or culture, then Jesus is a threat to us. When we claim privilege because we are exceptional, we live in this nation, And so therefore, others are less than. We're no different than the religious authorities or political leaders in Jesus' day. When we seek to establish our future by hoarding the world's resources, then Jesus is a threat to us. You see, we might easily see Jesus as a threat long ago, but miss the fact that he can be a threat to us in our way of life now. But they were so wrong in their thinking. They were so wrong that they could just take care of eliminate this Messiah and this king by force. For the resurrection story in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus is raised from the dead, all of earth shakes. Because this was a new creation. God's love would be stronger than death. God's love would be stronger than any hate. And as the angel on that Easter morning rolled the stone away from the entrance to the tomb, the guards just stood there. They could not speak because they had seen the mighty hand of God at work. You see, the last word for God would be life, new life. For the Messiah that had been crucified, rejected, mocked, and abandoned by his friends, this Messiah, this hero, was raised from the grave, is alive, and here with us today. You see, the symbols of our King Jesus are the symbols of water. The night before his death, Jesus took a basin of water and knelt before his followers and washed their feet. Jesus seeks to wash your feet. As a reminder that there is no task in this world that is beneath you or beneath me. For Christians, there is no task that is so menial that we do not get our hands and hearts dirty with taking care of what needs to be taken care of in the world. And it's also a reminder for us to be thankful for those this day who are washing the feet of our loved ones in homes, in care centers, in hospices, in hospitals throughout this world. And let us be thankful for those who are washing the bodies of the starving, the war wounded, the children, the women, the old, the lonely, the homeless. For you see, we all need someone to care for us. Another symbol of our King Jesus is the towel. Jesus knelt before his followers after he washed their feet and he wiped their feet with the towel. And he said, "Do you know what I have done to you?" He just said, "If I, your master, have washed your feet, then you need to wash one another's feet." Jesus seeks to wipe your feet as a symbol to remind you that you and I are here to serve the needs of our neighbor. And neighbor is the biblical understanding of neighbor, anyone who is in need that we can help. That is our calling, to make this place a better place for those who come after us. And the other symbol of our King is the cross. For here on the cross of Jesus Christ, we see God's ultimate love. The biblical story reminds us that the only God that can save us is a suffering God, a God who can go all the way for us and with us, even to the point of death. For you see, with God, there is no one beyond God's limit. Everyone can be saved. Everyone is of value. God in Jesus Christ goes into the places of our broken promises, our lost hopes, our suffering pain, our little deaths, and God meets us there to hold us, to love us, to heal us, and to say, "You are mine." Yes, with a basin of water, a towel, and a cross, I think we have the symbols of what it means that we have Jesus as our King or as our hero. So I invite you to let us journey together this week with our King Jesus as he goes to the Last Supper, to the washing of the feet of his followers, to his death on the cross, into the empty tomb, where God will raise him from the dead. Amen.